America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day, despite the fact that there has been a lawsuit filed by Nick Rolovich, who you may remember had the opportunity to be a martyr for some kind of religious interpretation that he has. He claims in his lawsuit, by the way, that he is being persecuted for his Catholic faith. Why? Implying that Catholic faith means that you can't get vaccinated for COVID. This is a crazy kind of manifestation of an ongoing craziness that has been plaguing the country. But there's another kind of craziness that Peter Coy wants to call to America's attention, which is a craziness involved in the overrating of the value of college degrees. He's written a piece for the opinion section of the New York Times. Before joining the New York Times in July of this year, he spent nearly 32 years writing for Business Week and its successor, Bloomberg Business Week. Mr. Coy, great to speak with you. And okay, when you're talking about college degrees being overrated, you're talking about particularly in the workplace.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people thought that headline was overstated because, you know, I think college is great. I got a college degree myself, and there's a lot you can learn in college, but I would make two points. One is, it's not for everybody, and second, if for some reason you did not get a college degree, it shouldn't be a death penalty. It shouldn't be something that causes employers to just ignore you totally, because there are plenty of people in this country who don't have college degrees, who have good heads on their shoulders, and can be excellent employees, creative, intelligent, hardworking, everything you would want. The college degree by itself should not be the sine qua non, the one thing that you must have or you can't move ahead in life.
Boy, I agree with you entirely, of course. And when I say of course, it's despite the fact that my kids have college degrees, I have a college degree. I mean, you know, it's, again, you do that. And I'm glad I went to school, and I'm glad I got that degree, and I'm glad I did that studying. But I was thinking about it reading your piece. If there is anything in particular that I learned as an undergraduate to get the BA that made me a more valuable employee somewhere or anywhere. And I think most people ask about that.
Yeah.
It's tough to put your finger on it. Presumably you already know how to read. You already know how to write.
Yeah.
You already know how to add things up a little bit.
Right.
What do people say when you ask that question?
So one of the things I quoted in my article is a book by Brian Kaplan, who's an economist at George Mason University. The book is called The Case Against Education. And he's pretty extreme, but he says that the college degree is treated by employers as a signal. It's not that there's anything particular they want you to know that you learn in college, but the very fact that you have a degree signals to them that you're reasonably intelligent, reasonably hardworking, in other words, stick-to-itiveness, that your persistence, that you got that degree, and that you have ability to get along reasonably well with others, because it's hard to get a degree if you are a contrary kind of person who can't work with professors and fellow students. So it's they say, okay, therefore, if you don't have that degree, then we can't trust that you have those three qualities that we do want. It's not that anything you learn there matters to them.
Right. So why is that not a reasonable point of view? In other words, that is, I think, what I've always heard from people who want to justify the college degree is very important. It shows you know how to jump through the various hoops to file an application, to get admitted, and then to do all the stuff to pick the right major and to actually persist, show a little bit of self-discipline. What's wrong with that logic?
The reason it's lasted this long is that it's not totally illogical. The problem is that it excludes a lot of people who, for a thousand different reasons, did not get a college degree, and including for jobs where they don't need some of those qualities. I mean, everybody needs to have a reasonable level of intelligence and, you know, persistence and all those things. But if you chose not to go to college, or you dropped out because you had problems of a thousand different kinds again, then you need a second chance. And employers need to give people that second chance. Here's the problem. The problem is with the recruiting departments, because the CEOs, I think, very often understand this. They understand that they are missing people. But if you're working in a human resources department, some employer, and your job is to recruit people, then if you pick somebody who does not have a college degree, and then that person does not work out, everybody will blame you. Whereas if you pass over somebody who might have been a great employee, no one will ever blame you because they'll never know.
It's that supposedly people get in terms of their income and their lifelong earnings if they do finish a college degree. What's fascinating to me, and I've heard this speculated about, there is not yet any proof that I know of that's conclusive, that part of the problem we have right now in America is that half the people who get into four-year colleges and universities don't graduate within the first 6 years, and a third don't graduate at all.
Yeah.
But it does you no good, does it? It may, in fact, do you harm. In other words, employers may discriminate against somebody who has 1 year or 2 years of college because that shows you don't have the kind of personality that's going to see things through to completion.
I actually don't know about that. It's an interesting hypothesis. I haven't asked hiring people how they regard that. But what is true is that you spend a lot of money and a lot of time on something that did not produce a lot of benefit to you.
And a lot of debt.
Yeah, a lot of debt, exactly. I don't want to tell people don't go to college because you might drop out. I mean, if you college is a good thing to do, especially if you study something that will lead to a productive career. You don't want to send people a message, oh, it's college is dangerous somehow, because you might drop out. No, that's the wrong message. But you know, avoid spending a lot of money on a degree or an education that does not lead to a degree that's going to get you nowhere. You know, I have to say, maybe you were going to ask me this anyway, but there was somebody I interviewed for this article who I really, really admire. His name is Byron August. He is the co-founder of an organization called Opportunity at Work, whose whole purpose is to deal with this problem that we've been talking about in this conversation. And he has a story himself.
He talks about the invisible tragedy of successful careers that never happen. No tragedy in the career of Peter Coy, who's been a respected journalist for many years. His piece, College Degrees Are Overrated, posted at our website, linked to our website, michaelmedved.com. We will be right back. And on the Michael Medved Show, I know that there are some times when you can feel even deeply sympathetic to an individual who has been caught up in a controversy, but then scratch your head and wonder about, okay, why are you acting the way you are? What I'm talking about here has to do with what has been one of the biggest controversies, certainly in the state of Washington, and really around the world over the last couple of days, which has been the termination, and I don't say firing because he made the decision himself, the termination of continuation as coach of the Cougars, of the Washington State University Cougars, of Nick Rolovich. And Nick Rolovich had been engaged with the university for months and months and months with negotiations and conversations and attempting to find a way that he could continue as coach without getting vaccinations for the COVID-19 virus, which apparently more than 92% of all members of the staff, of the faculty, and of the student body at Washington State University have received. And it may be over 92% at this point. The deadline was on Friday. And today there was a lawsuit filed by Nick Rolovich. Former Washington State University WSU head football coach Nick Rolovich is taking legal action against the university after he was fired. And I don't believe that it's correct that he was fired. He was terminated. His contract was terminated with plenty of warning because of a step that he refused to take. And he is going to be, and I am virtually certain of this, the university is saying he was terminated with cause, and I think that will be legally held up. In any event, in a statement, Rolovich's attorney, Brian Falling, confirmed the former coach filed a religious exemption, but that it was denied by the university. I actually went to the actual statement filed by his attorney, and he begins by saying the termination of Washington State football coach Nick Rolovich on Monday was unjust and unlawful. And as a result, Coach Rolovich will be taking legal action against Washington State University and all parties responsible for his illegal termination. And they bring up in the statement some things about hurt feelings. I mean, right at the top, Brian Falling says, immediately after terminating Coach Rolovich, WSU Athletic Director Pat Shun directed campus police to escort the coach to his car. He wasn't allowed into his office, and he was not even allowed to speak to his team. Since at least early April, it became clear that Shun had already determined that Coach Rolovich would be fired. No, he had determined that Coach Rolovich would be fired unless he could follow the mandate that applied to all of his colleagues. And he had determined that, no, he was not going to make an exception for Coach Rolovich. And this is part of what makes me wonder about this entire lawsuit. It says, Chun's animus towards Coach Rolovich's sincerely held religious beliefs and Chun's dishonesty at the expense of Coach Rolovich during the past year is damning and will be thoroughly detailed in litigation. Oh, great. Chun's discriminatory and vindictive behavior has caused immeasurable harm to Coach Rolovich and his family, which means that he is going to be seeking some kind of monetary compensation for all of this harm to Rolovich and his family that beyond the $3,195,000 salary that he's received this year. And not, of course, he hasn't gotten all of it because the year isn't over yet. But I think given the fact that the year has been going on, we're talking about several million dollars he's received already. And then he ends up, and this is the only mention specifically about the religious faith that is supposed to be so important to Coach Rolovich. He's never spoken about it. He's never answered questions about it. He's never given anybody an indication of what aspect of religious faith was being violated by the vaccines. He's never given any indication that he ever refused any other vaccines, because presumably, what is there about this vaccine that is different from other vaccines that he undoubtedly has received? It's the same procedure. What religious objection is there? And you have some hint of that in the last paragraph of this statement by his attorney. It says it is a tragic and damning commentary, on our culture, and more specifically on Chun, that Coach Rolovich has been derided, demonized, and ultimately fired from his job merely for being devout in his Catholic faith. Now, I hadn't even heard that he was a Catholic. And what is outrageous about that is there are, close to a billion Catholics in the world. And there is a pretty well-organized church hierarchy, and there is a leader of the church hierarchy. His name is Pope Francis. And Pope Francis has been vaccinated. I don't know if he's had the booster shot yet or not. And by the way, it is very, very clear to me that whatever Catholic church or congregation or teaching that Coach Rolovich claims to follow does not hold with him that it is somehow religiously prohibited to receive the vaccination. The Vatican has been about as clear as they could be, as have most religious authorities. And if Coach Rolovich is so devout, why has he been unwilling to even cite his Catholic faith or some proposed item of his Catholic faith, element of his Catholic faith, that is leading him to upturn his life and now to basically attack the institution that has benefited him greatly up to this point? It seems to me that I have not said anything personally about Coach Rolovich because I don't know the man, and he appears to have great admiration from people he works with. He's very popular with his players who like him a lot. But this is not a demonstration of good character. If you believe that it's wrong for you to get a vaccination, why not say so? And at least try to negotiate it with your employer. And the idea that you want people to continue paying you $3,195,000 a year without even explaining what your objection is, that's strange to me. 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back on the Medved Show.
Michael Medved.
On the Michael Medved Show, an email that came in about Coach Rolovich. We'll get to that in a moment. I do want to make it aware, make people aware of the fact that you can find out all kinds of information about some of the latest technological breakthroughs in healthcare, in basically conservation, and basically how you can deal with the climate issue. All kinds of startups that are doing extraordinarily well in communications, in IT, across the board and around the world. There is a crowdsourcing investment firm called Our Crowd. It's my brother's company. I am not impartial toward it. I'm very partial toward it, partially because it's made so much money for people and it's really helped the world with companies that make major breakthroughs. And you want to find out what they're talking about? It's completely free. They will send you a weekly update on some of these technological developments. It costs absolutely nothing. Go to michaelmedved.com and look for the banner for Our Crowd, which is crowdsourcing for high-tech startups. Check it out, and you don't have to be a wealthy or privileged person to participate. There are all kinds of ordinary middle-class Americans who can do very, very well in this situation. Check it out. Go to Our Crowd at michaelmedved.com. Okay, this email came in right away from Carlos in Woodinville, Washington. He says, Michael, I've never heard you so insistent on attacking someone with sincerely held beliefs. Why the uncharacteristic vitriol toward an individual exercising his own human rights? So judgmental, intolerant, and disrespectful. Let the man live in peace with his own beliefs. We don't need 100% of the population vaccinated to have herd immunity. This has now become an authoritarian movement to force the last few percent for no logical reason. Look, let me go back to a few phrases you use here, which I think are very important to just unpack for a moment. You say, why the uncharacteristic vitriol toward an individual exercising his own human rights? You don't have a human right to sue for a development that you were entirely responsible for. In other words, his human right to continue as a coach or for Washington State University has nothing to do with defying a requirement by your employer that is not visited on you personally. He's not being persecuted. He has the same obligation as all the people who work alongside him. And by the way, he was also, at the same time, there were four other coaches who worked with him who also elected not to get the vaccination or not to make some kind of accommodation with the university, but to leave. Okay, you have a human right to leave. If it's just that, no problem. The reason I didn't speak about this recently, but I suppose didn't speak about it, certainly not yesterday, and I am speaking about it today, is because he launched this lawsuit against the university. And launched a lawsuit that was so over the top in its rhetoric, talking about his persecution for his devout Catholic faith at a time when he had never before cited his Catholic faith. Maybe in the confidential or the personal application for a religious exemption, which was denied. And by the way, the denial of the religious exemption, according to all sources, was blind. In other words, there are a number of people who had applied for religious exemptions, nearly all of them denied. But one of the questions they ask is, have you gotten other vaccinations? Do you have some indication that this is actually a doctrine of your religious beliefs that is being violated or would be violated by your getting vaccinated? And there is no such organized religion that takes that position, certainly not Catholicism. We'll see how this comes out in court. And then this comes out, came out from Ray in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Ray, thanks for writing in. Says, Michael, your response to anti-vaxxers is entirely too tempered. Freedom is not free. Freedom must be continuously earned by demonstration of personal responsibility. Not doing all you can to keep your friends and neighbors safe demonstrates the opposite, a childish shirking of their responsibility, which will only justify the increase of centralized power of the nanny state on the rest of us. That's such a good point, and Ray, thank you for it. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it, or being free will just be words and nothing more. Those are the lyrics from Kansas. And look, this same idea was put forward by another great thinker, Charles Barkley, who is a terrific guy. I do not know him, but I know people who do and say he's brilliant and an extraordinarily solid and decent human being. He had this to say against some of his fellow athletes who are anti-vax. This is clip 9. Listen.
First of all, you don't get the vaccine for yourself. You get it for other people.
No, I'm not saying. No,
hold on for a second. You said your piece.
No, I didn't say you do.
I got vaccinated. I can't wait to get the booster. You don't get vaccinated just for yourself. Like Adam said, you get vaccinated for your family first. You get vaccinated for your teammates second, things like that. That's what bothers me about this whole thing. I think everybody should get vaccinated. Let me tell you something. I really am proud of the Nets for putting their foot down, for saying, no, we're not going to deal with this half on, half off. The only thing that bugged me, he's still going to make $17 million sitting at home. I wish they could find a way. If he wants to go on this thing, like, you know, people say he's like Ali. First of all, don't ever compare anybody to Ali. Ali went 3 years without boxing. He was the highest paid athlete in the world. This guy going to make $17 million for sitting at home. But to every person out there, you don't get vaccinated just for yourself. Let's get that out the way.
I'm not sure. Jeremy, is they speaking about Kyrie Irving? Is that who they're talking about? He's a flat earther, for God's sake. Okay, people say, well, why don't you show more respect towards some of these anti-vaxxers? Hey, look, am I required to respect the intellectual reasoning and seasoning and integrity of people who are flat earthers? No, I don't really respect Holocaust deniers, flat earthers, 9/11 truthers, or some of the more extreme anti-vaxxers who believe you're going to get some kind of chip in your system. Fox News' Neil Cavuto, 63 years old, and is vaccinated, by the way, revealed that he has COVID. He said in a statement, we don't have audio, but I'll read it to you. While I'm somewhat stunned by this news, doctors tell me I'm lucky as well. Had I not been vaccinated, and with all my medical issues, this would have been a far more dire situation. He added that he is surviving COVID because he is vaccinated. Quote, I hope anyone and everyone gets that message loud and clear, said Neil. Get vaccinated for yourself and everyone around you. He had open heart surgery in 2016, by the way. He was treated for cancer in the 1980s. And was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis back in 1997. He's been open about his health challenges, and he's open about this one. And we can hope for a speedy and complete recovery. And, of course, the chances for that are maximized by the fact that he was vaccinated. One of the things that no one can reasonably disagree with is that if you get COVID, the fact that you have been vaccinated beforehand greatly reduces the chances that you will need to be hospitalized or that you won't survive. We will come back with a franchise that survived a long time since the 1960s, but now has a big new movie opening up in theaters. That and more coming up on the MedVed Show. Halloween coming up, we will be doing our traditional Halloween debate. It's kind of a different Halloween where it's kind of, yeah, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, but not really, and where do we go from here? Yes, that coming up. And there's another aspect to Halloween, which is it means that time is counting down for you to take advantage of the tremendous bargain you can get by signing up as a MedHead Plus member. Yeah, really, 22 cents a day. That's what it's down to with this special discount for people who are becoming charter members of this MedHead Plus operation. What that does for you is it gives you access to all of our history programs, all of our the material on the MedVed History Store, and gives that you that access completely free in return for 11 cents a day for a yearly membership. This is a great opportunity. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or to MichaelMedved.com and look for the banner for MedHead Plus, where it's 20% off until, well, soon. Okay. Some of the people actually taking surprisingly sensible points of view in a very public manner about some of the controversies confronting us. There is this from John King at CNN. And on Monday, he revealed that he had multiple sclerosis, but that led him to express thank you to his colleagues. John King on CNN had this to say. This is clip 12.
Share a secret I've never spoken before. I'm immunocompromised. I have multiple sclerosis. All right, so I'm grateful you're all vaccinated. I'm grateful my employer says all these amazing people who work on the floor who came in here for the last 18 months when we were doing this are vaccinated now that we have vaccines. I worry about bringing it home to my 10-year-old son who can't get a vaccine. I don't like the government telling me what to do. I don't like telling me what to do. My boss telling me what to do. In this case, it's important.
I think most people can feel somewhat sympathetic to that. At least I would hope so. And then there's another celebrity speaking out in a surprising way. One of the truly great quarterbacks in football, especially now that Russell Wilson is on the bench for a couple of weeks. Aaron Rodgers, graduate of University of California, Berkeley, actually decried cancel culture. He was on the Pat McAfee show. And the context in this was that he had been criticized for taunting Bears fans after scoring a touchdown, shouting at them in the end zone, I own you, to the fans. Now, of course, Rodgers wasn't wrong. Packers have repeatedly beaten the Bears with Rodgers as quarterback. But in any event, he had this to say about cancel culture in general. Clip 10.
For me, it helps me to keep sane when I can recognize and point out that there is this culture that exists that gets off, that think on shrinking people, keeping them small, keeping them in a box, quieting them through cancelization or demeaning comments, and that I also exist outside of that in a different realm where I do feel confident in things I say, and I do stand behind what I do, and I like to speak the truth, and I'm not a part of this woke cancel culture that gets off on trying to silence people all the time.
And speaking of silencing people, this is not an attempt to silence people, but it is an attempt to sort of jump into a controversy that's playing out in the airwaves in Virginia. The biggest issue that is working on behalf of Republicans, and for the Republican specifically who's running for governor, Glenn Youngkin, who is in a very tight, very close, neck-and-neck race with Terry McAuliffe, he was hit earlier this week with a Terry McAuliffe ad that says that McAuliffe's biggest mistake in the campaign was actually taken out of context. The Terry McAuliffe ad that Glenn Youngkin has now responded to sounds like this. Clip 15.
As parents, Dorothy and I have always been involved in our kids' education. We know good schools depend on involved parents. That's why I want you to hear this from me. Glenn Youngkin's taking my words out of context. I've always valued the concerns of parents. It's why as governor, we scaled back standardized testing, expanded pre-K, and invested $1 billion in public schools. I'm Terry McAuliffe, candidate for governor, and I sponsored this ad because working together, we can give our kids the education they deserve.
Okay, real background, Glenn Youngkin just released this new ad in response. This is clip 3. Listen.
Glenn Youngkin's taking my words out of context.
Something you mentioned in Tuesday's debate is you said you don't believe parents should be telling schools what to teach. What did you mean by that?
Well, first of all, parents should be telling schools that they want their teachers to be vaccinated.
Do you think parents should have a say in the curriculum?
You don't want parents coming in every different school jurisdiction.
You alluded to parents staying out of this. We just want to make sure that we're understanding you correctly. What is your stance on that as far as what school agendas have to say for the kids?
First of all, this is determined by the State Board of Education and local school boards. And that's where it should be.
Do you still stand by your position that parents should not tell the schools what they should teach?
You do not want 25 parents picking books.
McAuliffe's reply.
We have a board of ed, and we have local school boards who make the decisions about teaching.
I'm not going to let parents come into schools. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Okay, I love the fact that they use the Grieg Hole of the Mountain King in the background, which is associated in other movies, famous German movie called M for murder. And this is a kind of ad that is murderous for the Terry McAuliffe's campaign, and pretty brilliantly done, and puts in context just how much he was quoted in context on this particular issue. There is another movie, being the demonic from the Hole of the Mountain King. The Addams Family, remember them? They're back. The Addams Family 2 years ago was an okay animated film. The new one? Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Domestic trouble in the Addams Family? Is it possible that teenage Wednesday was actually switched at birth and doesn't belong with her ghoulish relatives? And to keep the clan together, Daddy Gomez Addams, voiced by Oscar Isaac, has a plan in mind in the new animated comedy Addams Family 2, now playing in theaters and video on demand.
Time for some family bonding.
What?
We are going on a road trip.
This is cruel, even for you.
Actually, this witty and inventive movie is more cool than cruel, helped considerably by a top-flight cast of vocal talent, including Charlize Theron, Chloe Grace Moretz, Snoop Dogg, Bette Midler, and many more. The animation is witty, if not quite wonderful, and the rating is PG, with some disturbing trans-species experiments by a ruthless villain voiced by Bill Hader. Not a classic, but better than the 2019 Addams Family film. 2.5 stars for Addams Family 2. And I do think that the movie deserves some of the success it's received, and it's coming out now, so you can get it both ways, at theaters and on streaming. Coming up tomorrow on the MedVed Show, there's a very provocative piece in the New York Times, Are Conservatives Happier Than Liberals? That's a case that I've been making for years. It's one of the things that made me a conservative. I wrote about it in Right Turns. I think generally, yeah, people on the right are happier. Is that still true today in the era of such bitter division and polarization, even within the Republican side? And what if Colin Powell had actually agreed with people who were trying to get him to run for president, and run for president in 1996. There's a leading conservative columnist who says the entire world would have been better off. That would have been Powell as president instead of Clinton. And then there's a question about, should a Robert E. Lee statue be melted? And if so, as the proposal stands, what would they use the metal for? And a poll on whether Republicans want Trump to run. There's a shocking result. And a little hint, I think Trump is going to like it. In this greatest nation on God's green earth.